hard to talk after that. Wow. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Man, great month, isn't it? Here we are, Memorial Day weekend already. Wow. This month went fast. It was the month of exploring imagination, the exploration of imagination. And you know, we keep these monthly talk themes together in the bookstore. I don't know if you know that or not, but Paul keeps them together. So if you want to bring home a whole month of talks on the same theme, like abundance or like this month was imagination, you can do that because he keeps them all together for us. It's lovely. I think there's a group price too. I don't know. Anyway, it's a great theme, exploration of imagination. I love it. It's powerful because that's what we are. We are imaginative beings. Albert Einstein said this. He said, logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. Imagination will take you everywhere. And he should know because he was one of the smartest people that ever lived. Yes? Absolutely. In fact, you know, there was a story where he was being interviewed one day and a reporter had asked him, so what does it feel like to be, you know, at that time when he was alive, what does it feel like to be the smartest man on earth? And he looked at the reporter and without missing a beat, he said, I don't know, you're going to have to ask Nikola Tesla. Pretty neat. So here we are exploring imagination. And you know, in the complete introductory course to the science of mind, Ernest Holmes said this. He said, going back in history of the human race, the imagination is much older than the will. Long before Dawn knew man had will, he was exercising his imagination. Think about that, right? Think of all the cave drawings and things like that. Since imagination is older than will, it follows it is deeper seated in the consciousness than is will. And a logical corollary of this is that imagination is therefore far stronger than our will. And that coincides with what Emile Cooey said, which was when the will and the imagination are in conflict, the imagination will always demonstrate. Where the will and the imagination are in conflict, the imagination will always win. And they, you know, I mean, think about it. Try to stop blushing if you're blushing, right? I mean, you just can't do it. Try not to salivate when someone cuts a lemon out in front of you, you know? The imagination, we can imagine what these things taste like and feel like, and our bodies just react. So imagination is the power of the word, and will is its direction. Does that make sense? Imagination is the power of the word, and the will is, did I say that right? Sorry. Right. Imagination is the power of the word, and will is its direction. Right? Love points the way, and law makes the way possible. So does that mean every thought that we have is backed by imagination manifests? No. I want an answer. Yes, no, no. Only those thoughts that we go back to over and over, right? Only those thoughts that we go back to over and over and over again, Ernest Holmes said, with monotonous regularity. And those are backed by feelings. There are feelings attached to them. And where we rest in thought and feeling, that is what really manifests, you know? That saying that energy flows where attention goes, right? Where we go every time in our minds over and over again, that resting thought that we go back to over and over again with conviction and absolution, that's the one that continues to manifest. So where do we rest in thought and feeling? Where do you rest? When you're not thinking, you're thinking of anything and you're thinking of something, where is it resting? Where is it resting, right? Where is it resting? You know, one of the practices that I do in the morning is to bless all the parts of my body when I wake up. Because I figure if I give them attention in a positive way, then they won't need to be getting attention in a negative way. You know, I mean, think about it, right? Do you think about your body normally? Normally, your body is just the vehicle. It gets you from point A to point B, and you don't really think about it until what? Until something goes wrong with it. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking about it. You can't stop thinking about it because it hurts. So I make one of my morning practices just to bless everything. I bless my toes because they keep me from tipping over. I bless, you know, they just go right from the toes all the way up. My dog wakes me up at 4:30 in the morning, or 5:30, or 6:30. Somewhere between 4:30 and 6:30 every morning she wakes me up. And so I go downstairs with her, I let her out, and then I do my spiritual practice. Sit in meditation, sit in prayer. And that's one of the things I do. I give thanks for all my body parts. Because I just assume that that's where that I want that attention to go. I want the attention to go to the energy flowing through my body and the health flowing through my body. So I bless them. Thank you, toes. Thank you, knees and hips, you know, for doing the job that they do. Thank, you know, kidneys for working. All kinds of things, you know. You just keep thanking the whole thing. Strong back carries me from place to place and so on and so forth. So thankful for all my body parts, and that's where my attention goes, right? That's what I place my attention on, so that's where the energy is. Ernest Holmes said this, when we exercise our imagination, the creative power of our thought, things begin to happen to us. Modern science in many ways is beginning to substantiate that viewpoint, and we know even more today, right? And he goes on to say, by doing so, it is affirming the age-old concept that there is a power within us, greater than we are, which acts as a law in our experience. It is a power that is creative. It reacts to our thoughts, and we can use it. However, to constructively use it, we must have faith in it. Okay, so there's another ingredient. Right? So we need to be emotional, we need to have our feelings come into it, and we also need to have it backed by faith. This is the belief that the universe has our back. This is the belief that we're safe in this world, we're safe in this universe, and the universe has our back and will respond to us appropriately. That is the truth of us, really. I mean, there's nothing else true about us but that we are 100% spirit. And so what we know is that our highest and best good is always being realized, whether or not we agree with it. Sometimes we don't. But our highest and best is being realized, whether or not we agree with it. We can't explain it. We didn't create it. We didn't create this power that we're using. We're simply aligning with it. We align with a power and presence that eternally exists, and we direct it momentarily. And it changes conditions around us. This ineffable, undefinable energy is the truth of who we are. And it's the truth of all life everywhere. It's the truth of everything everywhere. I'm going back to Albert Einstein now. He said this. He said, there remains something subtle, intangible, and inexplicable. Veneration for this force beyond anything that we can comprehend is my religion. And really, that sounds a whole lot like religious science, doesn't it? Veneration of this energy that we just can't even describe. We can't even define. We can't even limit. Veneration for this energy is my religion. That sounds a whole lot like religious science. And it's our practice to embody and demonstrate this power flowing through us, and in fact, flowing through all matter everywhere. We have to align with it. We have to understand ourselves as centers of that energy and that power. Because that's really the truth of us. That's who and what we are. We are energy centers. We are centers where spirit is finding itself in form. And it is expressing through us in the world. And it can only express through us by using us. And we direct it using our faith in it, our imagination, and our free will. And Ernest Holmes said this, he said, the spiritual gifts which we have so eagerly and honestly sought after are not things that God is withholding from us. Just the reverse. They are things which we, in our ignorance, withhold from ourselves. God, or life, is not withholding the slightest good from us. Life is not even waiting until we're good enough to receive it. Life is love. And beauty and truth and energy and imagination, and it is ready to spring into action through us. And that's really what's going on, right? It is not God that limits us or limits our experience of life. It's our part in it. We're the ones that put the lid on the good that we can receive. We're the ones that put the reins on God, who is more than happy to run wild and free through our lives. It's not God that limits us, it's us. Truth, Spirit knows the truth of us because we are created in that. That is the truth of who we are. And what we do is we doubt. We fall into doubt, we fall into fear, we fall into why is it taking so long? Has anybody ever had one of those? But I prayed, where is it? Right? Well, I prayed, where is it? We are the ones who doubt. We are the ones that God doesn't doubt. God doesn't deny. God, it just is God. It's just love. It's just energy. And we're the ones that put all of these blocks in front of ourselves. We fall into despair. We fall into doubt when we pray and we think nothing's happening. Right? How many times have we said that to ourselves? But I did treatment. I did prayer. Where is it? Why isn't it happening? What's going on? And most of the times, what are we praying? We're praying for a change in conditions. We're praying from one condition to another. I have this, I want that. Right? We're praying conditions. We're not praying from cause to begin with. We're not aligning with a power. What we're aligning with is a condition. And what we know is that conditions change all the time. What we need to do is pray from condition to cause. We have to always step up to cause to pray. We rarely pray from condition to cause, but that's where we should be, because with God, all things are possible. But we have a tendency to just pray on like a lateral shift, condition to condition. I have this car, I want that car. I have this job, I want that job. Or I have no job, I want a job. Right? Or I have this guy, I want that guy, the cute one. You know, I have this much money, I want this much money. We pray from condition to condition when we should be praying from cause. We tend to forget that that's where we should be praying, and we wind up limiting ourselves because we are speaking to the condition only. We're not speaking of the power and presence that's flowing through us. We're not speaking of the limitless nature of the divine. We're speaking to our conditions of our lives. It's like I want a blue shirt and I want to change to a green shirt. We're just going from condition to condition. And what we know about the physical world is conditions change all the time. They change all the time anyway, don't they? Oh, if our lives were just about changing the condition, you would never be able to sleep. Because you'd get your life just the way you wanted it. You'd go to sleep, you'd wake up, it'd be different. You'd never be able to sleep. It's like mowing your front lawn. There, it's done now. I'm good for the rest of my life. No, because it's going to change. The minute you go to sleep, you wake up, there's a dandelion sitting there, right? Or something, or some weed, or it grows. The condition will always change. So we have to raise our prayers. We have to raise our affirmations from conditions to cause. Cause seeks a greater good. And we align with that. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we should sense the flow into our consciousness of a divine intelligence, a feeling that the creative imagination of the whole universe is centered in us and flowing through us. We should consciously practice this more abundant life, not necessarily for any specific thing or good that we desire, but for the realization of all good flowing through everything and everyone. You feel how big that is? That's a big prayer. Attuning our consciousness to this divine abundance automatically, we find a betterment in everything we do, a broader and deeper experience, a higher realization for the greater good. So our moving our prayer, therefore, to cause is moving it from, now, I have the blue jacket, I want the green jacket. No, it's like, I want everybody to have a jacket, you know? I want the whole world to be enveloped in jackets. It's this greater good. It's not about the condition. It's about the cause. And it's about the betterment for all. It's about good flowing through all life everywhere. And when we do that, when we pray cause, then what we come to is the idea of what we giving to life. What are we giving to life? When we pray from cause, we are becoming that in the world. We become the gift that the world is calling for, the thing you were born to do or say or become or demonstrate in the world. You wind up giving your gifts because your prayer is, what can I do? What can I be? Why am I here? What time is it? When's lunch? Whatever. You know, it's all those big questions. What am I meant to do? What am I meant to give in the world? How am I fully self-actualized? Because when we are praying from cause, those are the kinds of things that we do. Those are the kinds of things we're concerned with. We find that betterment that Ernest Holmes talked about. We find that betterment in everything we do. The broader and deeper experience is the divine expression that we are and that we are meant to bring into the world. Being alive is not a question of, you know, green jackets or blue jackets. Being alive is not a question of conditions. Being alive is not a question of what can I get, but what can I give? Being alive is what can I share with the world? Why am I, you know? We are all gifts. We are all individualized expressions of this divine life that is limitless in its scope and nature. So what little part of it am I going to demonstrate? What unique creation am I going to bring forth into the world? It's always about the greater life. Spirit is always calling for us to have a greater life, a greater experience of livingness through us. And we use our imagination to get all juiced up, don't you? To do that? When you sit, what is the thing that you start talking about with someone over a lunch and you get so excited about it? And you just get all jazzed and you just start going off. That's the thing you ought to be doing. Now, you don't have to change jobs immediately. But it may be something that you need to be doing. When you're all excited about something and you start getting all energized and your imagination is going wild, it's like, yes, that's the thing you ought to be doing in the world, isn't it? That's the thing. So what are we meant to do? You know, what are we meant to do in the world? There was a Time magazine interviewed 100 adults and 100 kids. And this was really wonderful. And the question was just one question. What one thing would you change about your body? Well, adults had a list, okay? It was like, here, let me show you. You know, adults got to scroll out their list. I'd be taller. I'd weigh less. My forehead is too big. My hair is too gray. My blah, blah, blah. They had a whole list of things they would change about their bodies. Whole list. Then they brought in a whole bunch of grammar school kids, 100 grammar school kids, and they said, what one thing would you change about the body? And the children went, change about my body? Why would I want to change anything about my body? It was like they couldn't for the life of them think of it something at first. They were like, change about my body? Why would I? And then one of them said, I'd grow cheetah legs so I can run real fast. And somebody else said, I'd sprout wings so that I could fly, you know? I'd have x-ray vision so I could see through walls. I'd have a mermaid tail. They went total imagination on the thing. It was just delightful. That's what we need to get back in touch with. That's the thing. That imagination, the juiciness of that. When we talk about our lives, when we talk about our next great adventure, when we talk about the next thing we want to do, it's that kind of juiciness and imagination that we want to get in touch with. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, why imagination is potent? The power of the imagination lies in the fact that it is the creative activity. It is the creative activity of spirit through us and as us. And we need to tap back into that. We're not grammar school kids anymore, but we still have that in us. We still have that in us. I want to sprout wings and fly. I think that's a hoot. I'd love that. So how creative can we be? It's limitless. But we have to be open to the creative nature of the universe. Spirit has to express through us to be expressing. It has to express through us. And we must trust that the universe has our best interests at heart. When we engage in this, we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Spirit has our back. We can trust the universe. I am not going to be steered wrong. The exploration of imagination is our discovery of what is possible with this one life. You know, with this one life that we have. And it's an amazing life. And we can do whatever we want to do with it. And we need to explore that. We just need to explore that and know that is the truth of us. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, our investment in life, then, is really that use we make of certain divine powers, qualities, and attributes which we already possess. Up in the mountains, there may be a vast reservoir capable of supplying unlimited water. And each of us in our own home may turn on the faucet, and a certain volume of water may flow, but the flow is limited by the size of the pipe we have provided for the flow. I think self is like that, he goes on to say. Our real personality, the dynamic which we are, is drawn from this vast reservoir, piped through our own intelligence, our own imagination, and our will to its destination, which is of our choosing. So how big's your pipe? How big's your... Siri. capable of opening up to the divine mind. It's limitless. How big a bucket are you going to carry, you know, to the river of abundance? How big is that flow going to be into your life, to reshape your life, to change your life, to open yourself up to a greater demonstration of what life can be? That's what we're doing. We are saying yes to the universe with our imagination, with our faith in it, and with our use of it. So let's go imagine something brilliant. Thank you so much.